Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Dino, what's going on, bud?
Well, I'm 30 minutes older than when we started this podcast.
You're going to get right into that, hey?
I'm going to, yeah.
Okay, before we get into it, I want everyone to know that I am a radio sales guy. I am absolutely not qualified to do a podcast. Somehow I got wrangled into it. And if things don't go right, guess who gets it? It's me. So if anyone's ever seen a board for radio, there's about 70 knobs on it and dials and buttons. And it looks like a spaceship. And I couldn't figure it out. Yeah. And we've been – our poor guest, who, by the way, is phenomenal. And he has the patience at the plate and on the podcast of a saint. Bless his heart. We'll get to him in a minute, so I apologize right away to you all, because I know you all have more important things to do than sit and wait for me to figure the board out. So, I digress. Dean, I'm glad you picked on me right away. Tosh,
yeah.
How are you doing, bud?
Let's get that out of
there. Holy cow. Good, Donnie. In true Donnie fashion, though, hey, you fell on that sword right away.
Oh, buddy,
like,
yeah.
You're a team guy.
Yeah,
I love it.
Gotta be.
No, it's good. Depending on when this airs, we had a big signing this week. Went down and watched Jordy Chartrand sign her Division I scholarship letter of intent to Central Arkansas. It was awesome. Pretty cool. Really cool to watch a kid that has developed since she was, well, Dean's been working there since, well, you guys were figuring out 9 or 10 years old, but in the program.
I was older than that.
Yeah, true.
You've come a long way too, Dino, bud.
Hey. Yeah, true that. Yeah. But she, you know, 11-year-old. She's the last original kid in the program.
Yeah,
she will be the last original kid to graduate.
Pretty special moment for sure, and congrats to Jody
awesome.
Chartrand for sure.
Really
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Really cool. Yeah.
So you know, we had Colin Abaddon, who some could argue that was the best hitter the country's ever put out. Tosh would argue that maybe Tosh is the best hitter the country's ever put out. There's arguments to be made. But now we got another incredible, a legend hitter who you can easily make the argument that has the numbers, has the pedigree, has all the championships, as I've written down here on my research sheet. Mr. Ryan Wolf, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you waiting, bud. It was a real nightmare, and I feel really embarrassed, but I appreciate you sticking it out with us here.
No worries. Had a good chance to catch up with Tosh and Dino, so it was good.
Well, I'm glad you guys got your moment there. So,
hey, Donnie.
Yeah.
I just need you to just back away from the plate. Just take a deep breath. Yeah. Just be you, bud. Just do you.
Just
don't
reset.
Try and do too much.
Just reset.
Don't try and make up for anything. Don't, you know, just do you, bud.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been rattled like this before. It's tough. You boys buzz the tower on me right away here. It's a tough one to start. Okay, so we can go any number of ways. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start your national team stuff, your ISC stuff? Where do you want to go?
You guys tell me, and I'll
how did you get your start, Wolfie? Like, you know, how'd you get your start?
Well, like most of your guests you guys have had on, you know, started small town, you know, played fastball in the summers, hockey in the winters, and, you know, my dad played, my older brother, my older sister played. I started playing in Melbourne, you know, population of about 500 probably. That's probably being generous.
Wow.
And, you know, small towns back in those days, every small town in the area had a fastball team. And, you know, now, you know, you got to travel a long ways to play. But, yeah, grew up playing small town ball. And from there, I guess my first real jump to the higher levels, my last year of midget, so U19, I guess that would be called now. My best friend and I went and played in Sarnia, and we won the provincials there and went to New Brunswick to represent Ontario at the Nationals. And we had a pretty solid team. We had a couple pickups. One of our pickups was actually Rob Schwier.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day, you know, at that time in 19, he's probably the size he is now. He was, you know, playing junior A hockey, and he was big, jacked, and he wasn't pitching, he actually caught for us and batted fourth. You know, he kind of was doing it all back then. So we lost in the finals that year. And from after midget, I was playing junior with the Fingal team, which eventually kind of became the team that hosted the Nationals, senior Nationals in 99. But again, we were able to get Schweier to come and play for us the last couple of years of junior. And my final year, junior in 98, we again won the provincials and went to the Canadians in Grand Prairie. And we won that one. We actually beat the Saskatoon Merchants in the final.
So
that would have been Matner, E.T.
Yeah.
I was actually at those Nationals with Camrose. We actually ended up third that year, and we watched you guys go at it. It was quite a – if I can talk about a story, if we can get into it. Was Thorne for you that game?
Who was Schweier in the pitch in the final?
Was it Schweier? Was he your ace?
Yeah.
Did Schweier get into a bit of a dust-up with somebody?
Yes, he did.
So I remember seeing him having a look like he had his jaw wired up a little bit, and he still threw.
Yeah, he maybe did have his jaw wired up that for the final.
Tricked out a bit of quiet game.
I guess it would have been, I can't remember if it was the Friday night or the Saturday night, whether it was one night or two nights before the final. The other two Ontario teams were knocked out. I think all three Ontario teams that were there kind of went out. Person pops, and our team all left, but Schweier decided he'd stick around.
No way.
That's not a Schweier move.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So he decided to stick around for a little bit, and as soon as we kind of got out of the way and there weren't quite as many guys from Ontario, a few little tussles broke out, and one young guy from the Fergus team, I think, was not doing so well, and Schweier went in to sort of help him. And as he went in to grab, to kind of pull the guy off, another guy booted Schweier in the jaw, in the face. And so we get back to the hotel, and it seemed like only 5 or 10 minutes later, Schweier comes back to the hotel, and he comes up to me, and he said, "I think I need to go to the hospital." And I'm looking at his teeth, and they're completely shifted, like one or two teeth over. Like it's,
ouch.
It's not good. So we get him to the hospital, and they wired his jaw shut, and he pitched the final day. And I think he pitched both games that day with his jaw wired shut.
So if that's around the same time, it would have been very ironic, because remember, didn't Razor break Etsy's jaw in junior on a throw to second that Etsy didn't get out of the way? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if both those guys had their jaws wired shut during the final?
That would have been that would never have happened again.
It would have been really quiet, because those might be the two loudest pitchers on the planet. Oh, that's funny. That's good stuff.
That's funny. Yeah. So Sarnia, you said you're from Sarnia. You played in Sarnia?
I played in Sarnia, yeah. Like, I played, like, in Ontario, there were sort of two divisions. You could play the ORSA, which is the Ontario Rural Softball, which, small town, that's what I was playing. And then they also have the OASA, so the Ontario Amateur, with more bigger centers. So my final year of midget, a team from Sarnia contacted me to see if I was interested in playing. Went there and went that route.
Why don't you write down some things about your days in Sarnia, and you could call it the Chronicles of Sarnia.
He's been sitting here
I was trying not to forget that for five minutes. Oh my god!
I wondered where that was.
Hey, that was a really good lead up to a joke, Dino. I appreciate your commitment to that joke. But we need sound effects on this podcast, because I would have did the little drum.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Chronicles of Sarnia.
Wow.
I can't be the first, right?
So Wolfie, you said you were 19 when you were playing in Sarnia, and then you played junior, because I remember, I think, well, it was 2005, your first senior Nationals then, in St. Thomas? Wasn't that 2005?
No,
it was Newfoundland.
I played with the host team in 99 in St.
Thomas. Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I think you were
12. I remember
12.
That.
You were 12 that year, I thought.
Yeah.
That was the big year of all the illegal pitches, right? Wasn't there a ton of illegal pitches? I remember Schweier just getting rung up like crazy.
Dude, it's the year you won.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, okay. So you lead with, isn't that the year of all the illegal pitches?
Well,
oh, no,
I pitched
no,
legal.
That's the year I won. Yeah, that's what it's called.
I didn't lead that up. I can't think that far ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, because I think we had Adam Smith that year, and I remember him just losing his mind at one point on the umpires because they were calling illegal pitches, and it was really impacting the game. Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been.
But no.
I think it was.
Yeah. Went through some 99 was my first team year.
Okay. Yeah, and it was St. Thomas. And I just came here one year. Right on.
So we're talking about Nationals then. We can get into this if you want. You've won gold four times at Nationals.
Actually, five.
Oh, pardon me. Okay, just some.
Donnie is so flustered right now.
But I know where that comes from because there are a couple bios out there on me that say four, but it is actually five.
Well, who's counting, I guess, right? Also,
yeah.
So 05, 06, 10, and 11.
So which one did they miss, Wolfie?
I'm not sure which one they missed, but it was 05 and 06 back-to-back, and then with Kitchener we went 09, 10, and 11.
Oh, so 09 they missed. Just so you know, that's Team Canada's website right there. I thought that'd be a reliable source, so there you have it. So, okay, and let me ask you, is this wrong then? You got top player in 05 and 10. Did you get it in 09 too, or was that not on there?
Probably.
Most likely. Let's just say.
I think in 09, I think I was top batter in the round robin, I think.
Hmm. So still an award that's not on there. I guess they probably ran out of room, if I'm being honest. If I looked at your bio, hopefully this
they're
is correct.
They're picking the best ones. They're
hopefully
like,
this is right.
Top hitter every year.
Says one of your role models is Wayne Gretzky. And I think if he looked at your bio, even though it's not right, you might be his idol, if I'm being honest. Look at all these things that are on here. So Nationals, do you have a memory from any Nationals other than obviously the dust up in Grand Prairie? Great town, by the way, Grand Prairie. Anything from Nationals that sticks out in your mind?
I think the 05 victory for sure, you know, playing for the host team, St. Thomas, because we were always, you know, a competitive senior team, but never really got over the hump. And then to win that one, and, you know, Dino and Tosh, you guys played in St. Thomas, the fans, they always drew great crowds.
Yeah.
The beer tent was always packed. The fans were pretty loud and pretty rowdy. And to play for the host team in 05 and to win that there was pretty special. We went through the hurricane in 2010 in PEI. Was that the year of the hurricane?
Yep.
That was a pretty memorable one. And then, of course, the last one in 2011, myself, Jim Holman had kind of asked, I think Todd Martin talked about this a little bit. So the team was struggling a bit during the week, but Todd and I had committed to kind of come in for the final weekend for the playoffs, and you get Marty on the mound, and we, I think the team was eighth after the round robin and hit the playoffs, and we beat the five seed, and then we went rolling. We beat the 4-3-2, and then we had to play the Noose in the finals, and again, they were just on the cusp of their run, and
greatness.
We knew they were fantastic, and you know, everything just sort of fell our way. I think we play that game 10 times. We maybe win just that once, but everything sort of, you know, fell into place, as I said, and we came away with the win there. But, you know, you could just tell the Noose were and we're on, you know, on the brink of greatness, and obviously they've shown that over the last
how many years?
9 years. Yeah, so many years. Yeah.
That win in 05, Wolfie, in St. Thomas, there was a couple of us. We had won in 04, but we got knocked out. Ward Goss knocked us out that year. And I don't know if Dino remembers, but that's the year we sat in the beer tent. And I think you guys went up like 16-0 in the first inning or something in the final. You guys, I think you guys jumped out to a pretty good lead. And we were looking at each other, and we're way back in the tent, and we don't have a great view of the game, and
didn't matter after that,
and that's when we left, and we were staying. What's the town on the water there? We stayed
Port Stanley.
We did a best Caesar contest in Port Stanley that day.
That made the paper.
We went to every bar and lounge, and by the time we got to the last one, they had talked to the other one prior, and we gave points on presentation, blah, blah, blah. And we went back and we ended up presenting a team t-shirt to the winner. And it was funny because the lady from the paper was in the bar when we presented the t-shirt. And that's my fondest memory of 05 Nationals right there.
Oh,
so,
Tosh, do you remember the bar that won?
No. But I, you know what? I could probably find the newspaper clipping somewhere.
Wolfie, who'd you guys beat in 05?
Library, whatever you call it.
An archive, Dean, it's called.
Archive, yeah. But no, they call them the, remember they're in the little, never mind.
That's fair. On like microfilm.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're like, you scroll through. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. That's like spy movie stuff, Dean. Very good.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there.
Who'd you guys beat in 05? Do you remember?
We beat the Nukes, actually. Newfoundland in 05. They had upset, I want to say Kitchener, sort of in the bronze medal game to get to us. And they were all really young. Like Mullally was on that team and Hilly and a bunch of those guys. And they were young. So I think for them, you know, they had already, it was sort of their tournament had already been made, getting to the finals and playing on the big stage. They were, you know, I think even Lolly, you know, mentions that they were a little overwhelmed maybe coming into that game. We had a pretty stacked, pretty solid lineup. But we got up early and ended it pretty quickly against them. But
it's funny how karma works.
They were quite young.
Because now they hang 16s on people all the time. They don't.
Who was pitching for them?
Do you remember?
Matt
Bramwell? They would have had somebody picked up.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember, actually.
Well, at 60 nothing, it sounds like I was pitching for them, so that's not great.
Matty Bramwell, that name hasn't come up in a long time, but he had some good years back then, too. I think that was another thing. He just never got to play, you know, maybe too many years where all the top hitting was, right? And he probably peaked or whatever. I don't know. But he was a good pitcher back in the day. I haven't heard that name in a while, Matty Bramwell.
Yeah, he might have been on the mound. I can't remember exactly.
Okay, well, fair enough. So we've talked a ton about – your Wikipedia page or whatever it is, Team Canada, it's not right, but it's still got lots of good things in there. Some top players, some all-stars. But what's really interesting, actually, is I want to talk a little bit about the ISC. You have a couple records in that very, very – prestigious category. You're going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Which is with Muesler. Yeah?
Yeah.
And that you're going in this year in Kitchener, yeah? Assuming that it goes.
Hopefully if everything sorts itself out, I'm to go in this year in Kitchener. Yeah, 2021.
Okay, so if we get into your ISC time, do you know your all-time batting average? Because I do, unless it's wrong.
I think it was on one of the media posts, and that's the only way. It was around 330 or something like
331, in fact, which is and you were considered a Gold Glove defender and an excellent base runner, so that's nice. Here's one that's interesting, though, for you listeners out there. 11-time All-World, which you are one of five players only to have that many All-Worlds. And most people don't even go to 11, never mind become one of the best players there. So that's pretty incredible. Is that correct?
Yes.
Because now I have to fact-check everything. I'm so rattled.
Sorry.
Fact-check.
Here's the other thing that I find very, very interesting. 7-time ISC champ.
Yeah.
So 3 with Broken Bow.
That's crazy that you've won more ISCs than Canadians.
Yeah.
That's absurd, if I'm being totally honest. So 3 with Broken Bow, 2 with the River Sharks, 2 with the Travelers.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. You could say. So you would argue that you're the best fastball player that's ever come out of Melbourne, Ontario, yeah? It's a safe argument.
I got to be in the running. I got to be on the podium at least.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Melbourne.
Some of the article I read was in the discussion for the top player of the 2000s, which is a 10-year period, by the way, that you were considered the top player of the 2000s, an entire decade, which had great music. Lots of good things happened in the 2000s, but you are considered the top player or in the conversation as the top player of the 2000s. Not 2002, but the entire 10-year run. So good on you and good on us for getting you on this cast.
What's he supposed to say?
Nothing.
Yeah, what do you want to say to that? Yes, Donnie, I am.
I'm stating facts. I'm asking questions. Yeah. I just want everyone who's listening to get an idea of the level of dominance you had for your entire career. It's astounding to get 7 world titles. If I went on a team and sat on the bench for 7 titles, I'd be pretty thrilled. You didn't do that, though. You batted 331. You 11-time All-World. You contributed. I'm a role guy on my team. I'll get a ring if I get one. I'm happy about it. You need another hand, it looks like, for all your rings. So that's impressive, man.
Got toes.
Yeah, sure. Toe rings are in fashion for sure.
So I got a question, though. I got a question. Sorry, Don, to cut you off. No. So we got seven titles. Okay, seven titles. How many times did you lose in the final?
Five.
You beat me in that one too.
Five times, man.
You were in the final 12 times.
I was in the final 12 times.
The seven wins probably help with the five losses. Like the three times, I barely get out of bed in the morning without thinking about those three losses. But those seven titles would probably take this thing away.
Wow.
For sure. But yeah, you also remember those losses. The farm when we lost in
97. Oh, no, you weren't even around then.
05. Yeah.
In Eau Claire.
That was a tough one with the 3-0 lead going into seven. In the seven.
Yeah, those are tough. Those 3-0 leads suck. Thanks for bringing that up, dickhead.
You made that connection, Dino. I didn't know if
you
Dino, do you want to...
My body just goes into convulsions anytime I...
Do you want to talk about that at all, or you want to glaze over it?
Well, I think we should thank Wolfie because, you know, he pulled his, like, he had a lawsuit against us. I don't know if anybody knew that because we've talked about him on every podcast that we've had. So I think after a while he got a little bit irate, which I guess we're using his name. We're floating it around. He's the best. He's the fastest, all this great stuff about him. And then all of a sudden we get an email, you know, don't be using my name. You know, copyright, this and that. Yeah. So we agreed that to have him on the podcast, he would let the lawsuit go. So I appreciate that, Wolfie. It's nice of you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
That's been great.
Thanks for having me on.
It is good to go through all of your accomplishments because they are amazing. Like, I mean, even I know you very, very well. And I mean, I'm still thinking seven ISCs. That's unbelievable. And then being in the final 12 times, that's ridiculous. But
yeah, but that's pretty awesome. I was extremely fortunate to play for great teams. You know, I was surrounded by the best ballplayers in the world. So, you know, my job was to try and get on base and have the big boys, you know, like Utah.
Who's the top three ballplayers that you don't even have to have played in your era that you believe were the top three ball players that you played with?
Good question.
Interesting to see. You've had some pretty good teams. Kiwis, doesn't matter. Overseas, wherever.
That is very tough to narrow down.
After today's debacle with the starting of this podcast, if you say Donnie, that would make his day. Atkinson fellow.
I would take the compliment, but for the love of God, you don't have to comment. That's silly.
It'll be Ray Atkinson.
Ray Atkinson. He's pretty good.
He was good. Yeah.
That's a good question, Wolfie. And if you don't know, you don't have prepared. I'd like to hear from Tosh and Dino as your thoughts on that, because I would bet some of them are probably the same. But the interesting part is if we were to ask three other people, I would bet the three of you come up in this conversation as well, right? So it's interesting Dean. Oh, yeah, Dean. Here we go. The thing I have about you guys that I think is great is you have all these achievements, but you're super humble. Your resumes are all phenomenal. So the fact that you'd be in these conversations for other people. So I think that's a tribute to you guys. But
I guarantee my mom would say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Patty makes the top three, though, with my mom, but I think I would.
Well, and it's good that we're here talking about it because it'd be really awkward if I said myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That would. Yeah. I'd feel awkward about that, so I'm not gonna even go there.
We had a guest on that would have said himself for sure.
You say it all the time, but you just want to say it on the air.
That's right. Yeah. Just...
So Tosh, so, let's start with you because I think Tosh probably has them queued
three
up.
Three people.
For sure. Three.
Three people. Any.
Okay. Non pitchers, because I think it's a tough category. Right.
Okay.
We did this a long time ago when we went through our top teams or whatever, and I know Wolfie was on most of our teams, but I would say top three players that I've ever played with. Well, Wolfie's one for sure. Colin Abbott. That third one, hey. Brian Cisnowski.
Really?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I'm looking for research.
It's different eras.
For other
different
guests. Eras, right? See? So now we can talk about, we've got Wolfie on today. We've had Abbott.
Yeah.
Let's get Saws on. I think that's a good, It's a different generation.
Well, you know what? You can't even – three's not – that's tough.
No.
As soon as I said Zaz, I went Marty Kernaghan.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean –
well, now you're
so
taking
many.
Three. You took one of mine. Now I can only say two. And you took Wolfie, too, so now I can't – I got one.
Well, it's going to be you anyways. You're going to say yourself, so
– well, no, you said no pitchers.
Although,
I was a center fielder when I grew up, so maybe.
Dean, I've seen you hit the ball, though. You don't just pitch. You also hit it pretty hard, too. So you can go in there. You can go in there as a...
Stop. Okay, I would say Brutus.
Yeah.
Mark Sorensen is, you know. I mean, I think he was kind of the first. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say the first because I don't, but in my era, that one of the best players that ever came over from New Zealand would have been Mark, like for sure.
For sure.
I like Bill Boyer. Mm-hmm. That's Wolfie, you probably missed him, but he's a lot like you. I think he's a lefty, though, so he got to cheat. Yeah. He was on the other side of the plate. What you did from the right side of the plate was even more impressive. I don't know. Let me dwell on that.
No, please do.
Can you imagine Billy Boyer, Ryan Wolf, and Paul Rosebush in the same outfield?
Or Nutter?
Nutter.
Paul Rosebush, like that's... Yeah. Well,
a little bit of speed there.
We had. You did get to play. Hey, who was the fastest outfield you've been with, Wolfie?
Yeah.
You and two other bookends. Who would those have been?
It's tough with the farm, because Abby just brings that average right.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm thinking, I don't know if Rosie and I can get a good enough lead in a race for Abby to bring it home. But it was...
He's going to like that.
Yeah.
He might have just spit up his white Russian right now.
But even Abby will tell you, his first few steps were fast.
That's right.
But no, definitely playing with Rosie, in the lineup. You know, because when I joined the farm, you know, Rosie was there already, and he was their leadoff batter. But when we kind of looked at the lineup, they had me bat leadoff with Rosie batting two, because, it was fun to get on base and see the defense just, how do we do this? How do we play defense against Rosie now that I'm on base? If I can steal, Rosie can drop a bunt down, he can slap it, he can drive it through the infield, he can get over the fence.
Yeah.
It was always entertaining, watching the defense try to figure out how they're going to play Rosie in that situation. So, he was quick, and he was such an aggressive base runner, too.
Yeah.
Fastest out, I played a little bit with Elzy and Lolly. And, Lolly was, when he was still playing,
no slouch.
Was pretty quick, too. Yeah. So, three of us covered the ground pretty well. That's tough.
Let me throw Lolly at you here.
Lolly was even faster coming into the park after he was late.
True that.
Seen that one before.
Yeah. Now, this may have happened. I don't know. Like, it might happen. Maybe it didn't. But some names that we brought up here. So in 2000 in South Africa, Nutter, you, and Rosie were all there. That could have been
goodness.
An
outfit. Yeah.
Right? Because you had your 14th. You had your 14th birthday.
both Rosie and I were in the same age.
We were
definitely the kids on that tour.
I'm just going to back up for a second and defend Colin Abbott, because I feel like just for a minute, because like Colin Abbott, I'm at top speed in two steps also. The problem is it's still real slow, but I accelerate, and then that's it. It's not great, but when you got two other guys in the outfield that can cover the ground, you just got to cover about 25 feet and you're all right. And if he hits 600,
you've got to imagine you're on fire, Donnie.
I feel like I'm on fire right now. But if you hit the ball as hard as he does, I'm sure they don't. You could put a broomstick with a glove on it out there, and you'd still take the home runs and the doubles.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You'd find room for him for sure. Hey, so you just brought up South Africa. Going back, that was your first run with Team Canada, correct?
Yes, it was.
So, and I'm really nervous to say these facts because, of course, Team Canada's page is incorrect. But it says at the time of this incorrect. That you're the longest-serving member of Team Canada.
Oh.
Yeah,
I would say so.
At that time, yeah. I'm not sure overall, in terms of the entire history of Team Canada. I'm not sure how long Nutter played for Team Canada, but I was 16 years, I guess, I was with Team Canada. So I...
And a captain with Team Canada, correct?
Yes.
There's a picture of you on this very same page holding the trophy in Saskatoon with Ellsworth, which I hope that's correct, unless they photoshopped that. Can't be too sure. Do you want to get into your talk about how Team Canada, how'd you get picked up for Team Canada? What was your first experience like in South Africa?
Yeah, okay. So I guess my first real sort of scouting, I guess, would have been the 98, the Junior Nationals. I was pretty naive. I didn't really think, that was a possibility. And then all of a sudden, throughout the week, there's always seemed to be, a guy with a Team Canada hat, watching the games, and I never thought much of it. And, there was a few other guys likely there. Boxy was there at that Nationals, and he was likely on the radar as well. And I guess I probably got named to the 40-man in 99 was the first year I was named to the 40-man roster, and went to my first camp in 2000. And interesting story about that one is first inter-squad game. I think my first at-bat, I hit a double, and then my next at-bat, I hit one into the gap, and I'm coming around second, and the outfielder bobbled it a bit, so I head for third, and as I'm, maybe 10 feet from the base, third base coach wasn't really giving me much indication, and I see the third baseman reach for the ball. The outfielder got it in, so I make a last-second sort of dive flop, away from the tag, and immediately know something's not correct with my shoulder.
So
I'm laying on the field with my left shoulder popped out. And the only memories of that I have are Joy Brooks was our therapist with the team, and she comes running across the field, and she's kicking her shoes off as she's coming across the diamond. I don't know what the heck's going on. So she hops down on the ground, drives her feet into my side, grabs my arm, and
pops
my shoulder back into place right on the field. So that probably was a savior for me.
Have you watched
Have you
watched Lethal Weapon movies at all, Wolfie?
Yeah, I tried getting into the
Mel Gibson, he could do that on command. He didn't seem like he was real happy about it, but he could figure it out, that guy. So that's you. That's a pretty nice trick to do.
Yeah,
I had that happen on a picnic table. Remember, Bongo put my shoulder back in. That was in Aurelia. Yeah, it's not fun.
You mentioned Darren Box. Yeah, so, I was going to go back to Darren Box for a quick second because we don't get to talk about Alberta players very often. Unfortunately for me, I had to play in a league with Darren Box when he was probably the most terrifying hitter on the earth.
Absolutely.
He covered the entire batter's box. His back foot was on the back of the box. His front foot was on the front. And there was nowhere to throw him. And we played in this very terrible diamond in Edmonton. It was called the Winterburn Diamonds. I don't know if anyone's ever played there. But like he needed the help.
The
right field fence on one of the diamonds was 180 feet. And with a 10-foot fence. And he would hit 400-foot home runs. Didn't matter. But it was like it was so unfair having to pitch that guy. It was a total nightmare. He was an unbelievable hitter. Like phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and just a beast. Like he could run too. He could move for a big man. Mm-hmm. You get him going, he could fly.
I think when we talked about our top all-time ISC players, he was brought up a few times actually. So yeah, he was as a younger guy, I was not impressed having to pitch to him. He hit one of the longer home runs that's ever been hit off me in my life. So hopefully he remembers that one because it was a big one for me for sure. But okay, so
I'm just always happy they don't hit you.
Yeah, for sure.
When you give up a big bomb, you go, geez, I gave up a bomb. Well, didn't hit me in the face.
That's a really good bright side story, Dino. Attaboy. Would it take a lemon and make some lemonade right there? Attaboy. Okay, so...
Wolfie, how many big... I might as well just ask the question. How many big-time bombs off me at key moments can you remember?
Two.
I can think of two, but there's got to be more.
Well, two's a lot still, let's be honest. Big moments, big home runs, that's still a big number. Can you talk about those two, just for fun?
They both hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can think about it. Yeah, you go ahead. They'd probably love to hear a story from you instead of me talking about the same thing.
Well, I forget which podcast. I think you talked about the one in Fargo in the 2004 ISCs.
Donnie Burnett's chin.
Yeah, I was on deck. You guys were up. Late in the game, I think he had 2 strikes on Donnie Burnett, and he was sort of happy feet in the box. Mm-hmm. He was tough. He was actually a tough guy to hit. He didn't want to get hit, so he was. And
good job. Yeah, I worked hard there. Yeah.
And you proceeded to hit him square in the jaw and dropped him like a sack of potatoes, and the entire place just went silent.
Yeah.
Like, I remember how eerie it was because I thought you killed him. and he just laid there. So anyways, so he ended up, I think they put a pinch runner in for him at first, and I came up.
First pitch or second pitch? I'm pretty sure it was right away.
I think it was actually the second pitch, which is kind of rare for me, but I think it was second pitch. And then, so that tied the game, I believe.
Yep.
And then did we go to extra innings, and Jody hit a solo shot in extra innings to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that sent us to the final, or to the undefeated game anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
I was in the tent. I was in the tent watching. Did one of you hit it over the shitters?
Jody? That would have been Jody. Mine was a line drive.
In center, and Wolfie was to left, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I remember that. I think I remember the, yeah, because we were.
I actually have.
No, go ahead. We were just waiting to play, because the loser that game had to play the tap the next day, and we had to play the tap because the farm, had lost.
We stubbed our shrubs. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember that. I don't. And to be honest, and yeah, he's my best friend. I don't remember Wolfie's home run, but I must have not been watching. I would remember it if I, was under hypnosis, I'm sure, but I do remember Jody's because it did clear the shitters. Yeah. Like it was huge.
It was, well, I don't even, I don't even remember. I know it was dead center. He hit it big.
Yeah.
But I mean, the one that hurt, it actually hurt more was Wolfie's. It just, because it was, you think you're home, right?
Yeah.
And then, something like that happens. But yeah, so that was tough. But then the other one was freaking 08. We've talked about that too.
So that was in the finals. Seventh inning. You guys were up 3-2. This is sort of bad to say, but Blake Miller led off the inning, and I think he was deep in the count. And I'm just on deck praying, don't walk, because then I think I have to bunt.
Who hit the other home run? Because we were trying to figure that out. It was
Jody.
Blair, you. No, I don't
and
think
Patty
Jody
Shannon.
Hit one off.
Oh, Patty Shannon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Patty, I think, and I'm not sure the order of them. And then, 3-2. So Blake luckily struck out, so I didn't have to bunt. And then again, that one was first pitch.
Yeah.
And I tied it. And then I think Elzy walked, and then Jody hit one off EC to put us up 5-3 maybe.
Yeah.
That's the kind of team guy I am. I'll strike out for a guy knowing, hey, this guy's going to probably do something good. I don't want to take the bat out of his hands. I want him to be the hero. So that's the kind of guy.
Team.
I was always sort of the anti-leadoff batter. I wasn't really known for my bunting ability, so I was glad that I wasn't put in that situation to have to advance him there.
That's weird because I looked on your Wikipedia page, and it didn't say you did anything not great. So, but I guess, again, here we go. We're going to ask you this probably later, so I want you to think about it, but you've been to all these ISCs. We've talked to every guest about what their favorite park was or favorite, complex. And you mentioned Fargo. I've been to Fargo, too. It's a nice little park. But think about that. What's your favorite ISC park you played in? So you don't have to answer now. If you know it now, go ahead. But if you don't worry about it.
I would say probably from the ISC parks. Yeah, I always like Kitchener just because it's close to home and they always draw pretty good crowds. But there's nothing like. Either I would go probably Kimberley, the lower diamond at Kimberley. It just has that aura. That would be probably number one and probably a close second. And this seems to be pretty common answer, but Eau Claire would be number two likely in terms of the ISC parks I played at.
Wisconsin has nice parks and they have deep fried cheese curds, which has come up on the cast every time too.
That's
a nice ballpark treat. Those deep fried balls of cheese.
Sorry, Tosh. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say the thing about Fargo though was the main diamond was the baseball diamond. They converted it, and that was pretty cool because that's the first time I'd really seen that happen, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of a stadium feel to it. It was pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought Kimberly or Eau Claire had a baseball diamond that was converted too.
Eau Claire had that one in right field that if you ran, you're running uphill. Like I'm not just saying slightly. You're running. It's like that. Is it Kansas City in center field where they have that big hump in baseball?
No, it was Houston. Houston had that in center field.
Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just like that in right. And you'd run and you'd see people trip and fall every time when they're trying to go back on a ball. It's kind of hilarious. Yeah. Do you think anybody's playing ball there anymore? Like, there's got to be people playing at Kimberly. But who would be there? The bar? Like, who's...
I don't know.
Who would be playing? Who'd be home there? That's sad. They're just gorgeous parks. That's for sure.
Yeah. Lower Diamond was nice. I going back, Wolfie, those are obviously clutch, and you know, I've seen you do a lot of clutch stuff, but I think the one in 08 was probably the hardest to watch because it was against the team I was on. So the farm one, whatever, I didn't care because I wasn't playing on that team then, but that 08 one, that was a heartbreaker. That's because I'm finally going to win one. We're going to win one.
Well, it fueled us for the next year, though, Tosh. Oh, no. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
That was just me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't have to pitch against Wolfie Ryder.
I had to go join. Yeah,
that's
I liked
right.
it so much, I bought the company.
That's a veteran move right there, Dean, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
you just got to hope they're going on a couple in a row.
So we're going to bring up Saskatoon. Obviously, we've had a couple of guests talk about Saskatoon, but I know we talk about that complex being in Canada, probably it's got to be number one or two. It's phenomenal. But talk about a bit about your experience there in Saskatoon. What was the crowd like? What was your feeling on that diamond?
Oh, it's fantastic. Like the memories of Saskatoon and Bob Van Amp, like, you know, the two memories that really stand out, one in 09, the Friday night first playoff game against the United States. And I think both of these memories involve Saskatoon boys on the mound because I think Eatsy was throwing, he came in to throw, I think, in the USA game on the Friday night, and the fans just stomping, the stands just pounding. The noise level was off the charts. And then, of course, the gold medal game in 2015 was just, you know, meant probably that times 10, you know. Mm-hmm. Fans are awesome there, you know. Loud, supportive, knowledgeable. I love playing there. Fantastic memories.
What are your thoughts when they put Devo into that game, I guess, would be a question.
You know, at the time, what the heck? You know, why not? Mm-hmm. And later on, this was a couple years ago at the ISCs. I was down there for Grazer and Rosie and their Hall of Fame induction. I was at the park on the Sunday night, and I was talking to a couple of the young Kiwis. Ben Anoka and Jerome Ramacki came up to me, and we got talking about that game. And they admitted, they said, what a great move putting Devo in, because they weren't ready for him. They hadn't, you know, they study the game. They know our team inside and out. They study the pitcher so much. But they were putting all their, you know, or majority of their studies on Cleary, you know, figuring that's who they had to beat. They weren't prepared for Devo and what he brought. And, you know, and Devo's just got that, give me the ball and I'll go throw. Like, he just, nothing really seems to faze him. No. And he just went in and threw the lights out, and he had the crowd behind him. And,
Can't imagine. Well, I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast too, is the thing that, like, it was so special for us is that you got it. You know, like, I mean, at least somebody that we've been there, and I mean, there's more than just you, but knowing that was probably your last kick at the can, and we're pretty pumped for you and all the rest of the boys that we kind of played with, and obviously our hometown guys that, you know, that had the great opportunity to go in there and put the fire out. You know, as you said, so no, it was awesome.
Well, I brought it up too when Johnny Stewart was on that during the Saskatoon Worlds, you broke curfew that one night because you came over and we had a birthday. I had a birthday drink with you, bud, at the Shark Club.
Yeah. That was
Danny Bruckert walks in, of all people. Oh. Danny Bruckert walks in.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Oh, it was good.
Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was, yeah, I've heard, I've been listening to the podcast, and yeah, you guys, I appreciate the words you guys have expressed, you know, about me finally winning, and yeah, it was special. We'd been, you know, we had shared so many losses and tough defeats over the years, and actually shaking hands. I played with Sorensen for 1 year in Broken Bow, and we were going through, he stopped, took a second, shook my hand and said, you know, congratulations. You know, Wolfie, you know, there's your world, so you can ride off into the sunset now. You know, your career, yeah. you've kind of capped it off finally. So yeah. they were very gracious, you know, the whole New Zealand team that day. So it was special. And then of course you guys, you know, the text, the phone calls you guys were sending, you know, after the win, it was great. We really appreciated that. And I know John Stewart mentioned that as well when he was on, but yeah, the amount of alumni and, you know, teammates, friends that were calling, texting made it very special.
Well, it was redemption, right? It was redemption, yeah. Because it was the nemesis. It was the same field. It was like everything just fell into place, right? And it was a shootout, right?
Yeah.
Like 09 was a shootout, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And we were just on the wrong end of the shootout that time, but you guys brought her home. That was awesome.
So yeah. I know we talked to Dino and Tosh, and they mentioned – with all your international play, was it, and I'm sure you're going to say the Kiwis, but who was the team that you guys either geared up for the most or felt the rivalry was the strongest with? Was it New Zealand?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And it was, I don't know where I told this story, but we got together on the 5-year anniversary. We had a Zoom call, a bunch of the guys, Canadian guys got on, and we were reminiscing. And as soon as New Zealand went up 5-0. I remember being in the dugout, and I kind of stood up on the bench, and I said, not again. I said, this can't happen again. I was just, here we go. Cause we had been, you know, the first ISF in 2000, you know, we had a great game against New Zealand. We lost 3-2. They eliminated us. You know, they beat us in the finals in 04, in Akasot in 09, in the bronze medal game. It just seems like we couldn't get over that hump, you know, and to finally clear that hurdle was very special.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, definitely the rivalries, the little scuffles, the bench clearing issues we've had with them over the years. Dino?
Yeah.
You remember those?
Yeah. I'm surprised. It would have been funny. You would have blown Donnie right off his chair if you would have said, oh, Jamaica. For sure.
Bahamas.
Jamaica. The Bahamas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot. There was a lot over those years. Like the haka in the airport in South Africa.
Yeah.
They did the haka in the airport. Like it was just like, oh, you guys. But yeah, it was crazy. It's probably, you know, and we had Peter Labardius on here, and he talked about Lolly's you know, going off in the final is maybe the best athletic performance by any Canadian in any sport. And I would hazard a guess that Canada, New Zealand in men's fast pitch might be one of the top rivalries on the planet as well. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it rivals everything. So, yeah.
Here's a sidebar. You know, we've had a lot of perspective from the Canadian side. You know, we've talked to the coach, you talked to you, we've talked to Mullally. I would love to, and maybe this is maybe an off-topic thing, but it'd be nice to hear from one of the Kiwis from their perspective.
I was just going to say that, Donnie. I'm like, we got to contact Brutus or Donnie Hale or Rona, one of these guys, or Patty Shannon, and get some. Yeah, I think that would be great.
I think that would be very interesting.
No, we don't.
Well,
stop it.
So we got 2 out of 3 think it's a good idea. I honestly think it's, you know, like you said, it's a back and forth rivalry. It's a very heated. It's the Red Sox Yankees. It's two really big powerhouses that go at it.
Yeah.
And
that'd
you
be
guys
a real interesting talk,
on
I
home
think,
soil
honestly.
Win that. It's a huge event. But I think there's enough out there that we have enough contacts we could get one of those guys to say, hey, and no one wants to talk about a loss, but they've had their fair share of success. So I think it'd be nice to hear from them a little bit about what they
we
think.
We would just have to we'd just have to get to the radio station a little early to make sure that we've got
here we go.
The you know, everything set up properly with the levels and all that, because we wouldn't want those guys from New Zealand, because it could be 3 a.m. there tomorrow. I don't know exactly. Right. We have to figure that out. So
for sure. Yeah, you're right, Dean. You know, hopefully one day this podcast gets a sponsor. Maybe with that sponsor money, we can get a new board and we don't have
to. Maybe you can get paid, Donnie.
Hey, so I'm going to tell you, if anyone's watched the movie Back to the Future, when Doc Brown goes back in time and then the time machine's not really working, he has to try and find things to make it get fuel to go back in time.
God.
Yeah, that's what this board is like. I turn it on every day and I'm like, oh, for the love of God, just work a little bit. And maybe that's what we need, guys.
Plutonium. Make sure the plutonium.
The flux capacitor on our board has been malfunctioning.
So, oh, that's funny stuff. That's funny stuff.
So Wolfie.
So we talked about best diamonds, best. We talk about these best things, but and I know we're a bit of a family show, and I get that, but favorite watering hole. We've never really talked about that.
We haven't.
Favorite watering hole.
Goodness. Again, you can't just pick one. Ooh.
No. How about Bowling Green?
Yeah, in Madison.
Madison.
Yeah, the bowling
alley. I think that's where the Godfather really where he got the name.
Yeah,
no, I think it was all the young newbies. Remember we were at Bowling Green there in Madison, and I think it was Lolly and Hilly and Steve and Jesso came in, and Abby was holding court with the young news. But and did they have the pizza? Did they have the Tombstone pizza?
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, really good.
Ray's was more of a, they were like a pita.
Hot mustard, man.
Yeah,
hot mustard sandwich.
Yeah. That's what it was, yeah. Hot mustard sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can't forget Circle Tap. Like,
I was just going
to
say, how could that not
be? Like, the only thing there is, I guess it's a family show. There's just too many body parts on tables there that we had to deal with at Circle Tap on occasion.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it was a great spot.
Dancing around. Yeah.
And hitters. Hitters was awesome, too. Like,
Hitters was good. They even let you bartend that one time.
Yeah, me and Butter. Yeah,
and Butter.
That's right. Me and Butter. Butter didn't collect a lot of money that night, but he was a good time, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
So one last thing I'll talk about. I read on your interests that might also be wrong, that you like to golf. Is that true?
I do, yeah.
So Dean and Tosh like to golf. I think it's, I can't do it. I won't do it. But tell me about the nicest course you've ever been on.
Oh, no.
Oh. Probably at the ISCs in Quad Cities. We've played a John Deere course.
Deer Run.
John Deere Classic on the PGA.
That was the hole on Tin Cup, right?
That's a great movie reference, Dean, for sure, yeah.
What? It's not, like the Tin Cup hole. Like a movie Tin Cup where he hits his 10
shots. Shanks 10
shots. We're home. Yeah, but it's not an actual hole there. It's actually like I'm not going to say this right, but it's actually like you're teeing off a 5 and you're hitting to 8.
Really?
Or something like that. Yeah, it was there. Or,
that's something to look at.
Maybe one of our callers will let us know.
Little Gus Fromes.
Great movie. Yep. Great course. Yep. I used to like Bears Best until I shit myself on it.
That's a general rule for most things until you shit your pants on it. It's not really your favorite anymore.
That's right.
So Wolfie, I guess as we wrap up here, what's keeping you busy now?
I've got 3 kids, so it's been a little quiet lately with sports, but they're all very active. They're all really into sports. My oldest daughter did play softball for a little while, but now she's transitioned, actually similar, I think, maybe to Ichi's daughter, but she's playing volleyball now, so she plays.
Oh, wow.
Volleyball.
So is that Emma?
That's Emma, yeah.
Okay, so I read that on there. Hopefully this is right. Emma, Allie, and Garrett are your 3?
That's correct,
And wife Megan?
Wife Megan, all good.
So most of the things on this page are correct. A couple missing.
Yeah. Donnie's just giving Softball Canada lips right now.
Well, I think maybe they... Yeah.
Well, they made
this,
you look bad, Donnie.
Hey,
they
with all this time they've got, they could update one of the most prolific hitters' resumes a bit, you know?
You have Mark Smith's phone number. You could probably just give him a call.
I might shoot him a text here or an angry fax. Yeah, one of the two, for sure.
I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
I bet he would, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this. I got a text from Stephen Mullally after our podcast. He said, hey,
did
thank you?
You
very much. I really liked the cast. I had a great time. Just listened to it. thank you so much for having me on. I'd come on again anytime. So there, we've got a lot of guests that have said, hey, they'd do a second cast. I'd like a second shot with you, Ryan, so we don't have the issue of the startup, so we can have a real fresh go at it. But I agree. I mean, so finish up. Sorry, you were saying what's keeping you busy. Because if you're looking for something to do, we always could use a speedy center fielder out in Grand Prairie if you're looking to hit a couple more bombs or anything. I'm just throwing it out there.
So, and then doing a little coaching. So my middle one, Allie.
Hey, thanks for that.
Not even talking about
not
playing.
A chance,
no,
but anyway.
The fish hook went like this.
No, that ship has sailed. That ship has sailed. My middle one, Allie, she plays fastball, so help coach her team.
Oh, good.
And she does some figure skating too, and then my little guy's hockey and baseball as well. So
well, I hope they really know how good their coach is. You know, their players.
I'm not sure they do.
I don't think they do, and I think it's sad. Like, you know, I think you've got a lot to offer young kids as far as, you know, being a teacher. I'm sure you do it every day, right? But people should understand how special an athlete you were. I think it's, you know, they need to see that. I don't know how we do that. Get ourselves on the. Let's start a professional softball league. We'll have two teams to start.
Yeah.
You know, you said that ship has sailed. I suppose you've done it all. You don't need to prove. I'm still playing because I have something to prove still. But you got nothing really else to play for. So. Good for you. You walked off in the sunset after Saskatoon, and I don't think there's a better way to end a career is with a moment like that. So I don't think you can write a storybook any better than that.
No. The summer of 2015, you know, winning the ISF, and then 2 weeks later winning the Pan Am. That's a career for anyone. So, yeah, I'm out. I had no qualms, no issues. I was done and happy to hang them up for sure.
I'm sure pitchers out there were pretty happy you hung them up, too. I'm sure they were pretty pretty thrilled that you were like, I'm done terrorizing you guys for a bit.
Yeah.
Last thing, you got your BA in kinesiology, yeah?
Yep.
Where'd you get that?
University of Western Ontario.
So you're a triple threat guy, we call it. You're a good athlete, you're a handsome cat, and you're smart. Hey, so you've got it all figured out, bud. Hall of Fame life. Never mind career. Yeah. Life, bud.
Yeah.
You're winning life. Okay. So as we get to the end here, we do our parting shots. Just kind of your last thoughts to the listeners. If you want to take a shot at one of us, Dino's already going to point out the fact that the board didn't work and we had to delay for half an hour. So I'm sure that'll come up. If you want to use that, you go ahead, but the floor is yours.
Good move, Donnie. You got it out there. So now you can't use it.
It's a preemptive
very
strike,
smart.
Dean. Yeah, it's smart.
Very smart.
I'll leave that one for Dino. No, I just want to thank you. I'm not going to take any shots. I just want to thank you guys for having me on and just thank you guys for what you're doing. The podcasts are great. I love listening to them. I can't wait till they come out and see who you have as guests and what you guys are doing with the Twos organization. You guys are doing a lot for softball and with these podcasts. I think it's done a great job of, you know, bringing us kind of closer together. You know, we're done playing ball. We don't see each other all the time like we used to. We still have great friendships when we, you know, we have all these stories to tell and to share, and I enjoy hearing them. And, you know, it's great listening to these podcasts and, you know, any other podcast you listen to. Yeah, you hear a story, that's great. But, you know, when you guys are telling stories and you've got, you know, Marty and Abby and Obi and those guys on, you know, I know those guys or I was there, you know, so it really, you know, brings back, you know, sort of that journey. You know, when you're playing ball, you don't really pay attention or enjoy what all you're experiencing. You know, you're focused on the game and winning, and but really when you think back, the memories you have are off the field, you know, or in the dugout, you know, with the farm.
You
know, the weightlifting or the you know, those were great when Abby was talking about you know,
hit the Bowflex, a couple more reps.
No one you know, got to play some small ball, guys. No one's getting out here today, you know.
Yeah. Interesting you said you like hearing the stories. You're in them all. I like hearing the stories. These stories are all about you, man.
But it's been great, and it does. It sort of brings back those memories and makes me appreciate, you know, everything that this game has given me and that great to see that you guys are giving so much back to the game. So I appreciate you guys having me on here tonight. And yeah, I'd love to come back on for another podcast if you'll have me.
Oh, for sure.
There's still lots of stories out there.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. I have a new segment I've just added. I didn't tell Dean and Tosh because I just thought about it. But so we will have you back. I would love to. But you know a lot of people. You played the game at the highest level. Who do you think we should have as the next guest?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
See, so now it's now we're prospecting here in the sales game. That's what we call prospecting.
And you're also calling his bluff if he hasn't looked at any of the other parts. Because he could say, I think you should have Mark Smith on. Well, yeah. He was our second and third or
two times.
Second guest.
Well, Mark two times we call. Smitty two times.
No. My vote, just because he's one of the funniest guys in the game, would be Todd Bucky.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Well, that would just be we would actually charge admission. We would do it'd be a $75 1 hour. It,
like an open mic.
It's just
stand-up comedy.
It'd be under a different name. It could be two stock at night, maybe.
Tosh and Dean, I've actually had a thought, if you'd like to hear it. We should have one called Tent Talk, which is a Twos Talk affiliate, but it's more geared towards the storytelling and the nonsense.
For
that
nighttime.
We all have. Yeah, it's for your nighttime. It's for your after hours listening.
Yep,
Tent
Talk.
Yeah,
that's an idea.
Just mull that around.
My brother said it again today. He said it a couple times now, and I think it was Lolly that said we should have we should do this next year at Nationals in the tent.
Yeah,
that'd be fun. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Or we could do it at ISCs in Kitchener.
Come in, there'd be freaking yeah.
Because we have a Hall of Famer right on this cast who could do a Hall of Fame breakfast right after. We could go out there like the media and just swarm them and sit down and say, "Look, we have first exclusive with the newest inductees into the Hall of Fame."
Yeah. That'd be good.
Be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
So, Tosh, what is your parting shot?
I got a couple things. The one thing that one and it and it's and I mean we
Get
talked
it
about this
it
easy
out.
For
well,
you to say.
Well, I thought about the one memory, but we won't talk about it. We had an unfortunate pitcher exchange in Prince Albert, remember, when we were staging, and I'll always remember the look on Wolfie's face when he knocked on the door and told us what was going on. We thought we were in trouble because we stayed at BP's a little late that night, and Smitty called you in the room. We were walking by, and we thought we were, you did. So, but I also remember in PA when we were staging, and we had a rain out, and we went to, we all went to the movie, and it was when The Hangover came out. And here's your senior men's national team. An older couple, a couple that looked like they were probably on their first date, and I don't know, two other younger girls, and then a bunch of these old weekend
warriors.
But Lolly
and Hilly were dating long before that.
They have a history for sure. Yeah,
that's true. But I remember some of those memories. You know, like we talked about. You know, the vehicle rides from the hotel to the ballpark, and the route we had to take the same all the time, and the tunes we had to play, and all that stuff. It's just some great memories. If I have a shot, I'm actually taking a shot at Donnie a little bit here.
Oh wow! What a surprise.
Shocker. Well, no, he's kind of shot himself in the foot here because if folks remember three or four casts ago, Johnny Stewart threw an invite out to Donnie
to be a guest coach
if they were ever in Vegas, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the amount of times that you've crapped all over Softball Canada right now getting Wolfie's page wrong, I'm sure that invite is going to be revoked.
Six times.
It might be, but let's be honest. I looked bad. I looked it up. And they wasn't there. You know what?
Yeah.
That's not on me. That as the governing body, and I will say, they got a lot of things to do, and I get that. But I need facts, bud. This is a fact-driven podcast.
The best part is you still keep hammering away on that nail.
Yeah, it still goes. Yeah.
At some point, you got to go, you know what? I had trouble with the machine,
right?
And I was a little bit flustered. And to all those at Softball Canada, I apologize. And I still hope that my invite to Vegas with the men's national team, if they ever go, is still intact.
You know
that's
what,
all I would have probably covered.
Because now it's getting administrative. Now John Stewart's going to, his hands are going to be tied. That's calls coming
from above.
You can't
save you, bud. He can't save you, but...
You know what? I appreciate that, but I live for this podcast. You know what? And it's a big thing for me. If it means I lose an opportunity, the integrity of this cast and its fact-checking, it's important to me.
To be fair,
I will say I do apologize. I didn't mean... It wasn't certainly a knock at Softball Canada. The problem, in my opinion, is more with Wolfie than the fact that his resume is so long. They didn't have room to fit it all. That's not a Softball Canada issue. That's a you issue, bud.
Uno memento, por favor. And I quote, Softball Canada doesn't have that much to do right now. You would think they would have the greatest hitters page correct.
Hey, they could have probably.
Did you say that?
You could have glazed over that.
Here's the thing.
Okay. No one has anything to do. We're all just sitting around. So if they want me to take over their pages, I will happily. I'm a slow typer.
They're not going to pay either, Donnie.
No, that's okay. I've got lots of free time, as I just finished saying. Lots of time on my hands, boys.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Tosh. Right. That was great.
I've never taken a shot at you on this.
No,
ever.
Fair. We're 25 episodes in. This is my first one.
Holy Pinocchio.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Donnie? No, Razor? No. Absolutely, Razor all the time, sure. But never at Donnie.
I feel like it needs to be distributed. I'm okay taking it. This is on me. I got flustered. I am sorry, guys. It's out of character. I'll be better next time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Dino, what do you got for a parting shot?
A parting shot. I would have been surprised if Wolfie actually had a shot at anybody.
Because
one of the things I remember about Wolfie is, like, no matter how bad the joke is, he laughed every single time. Didn't matter if I was on my A game or not. If I threw something out, he was laughing. And I remember the face. There it is. Yeah. Just loved it. As the parting shots go, you know, you recalled a couple of them. I'm good that my memory, you know, I know you've hit probably 10 off me ever. The two was the big ones that I could remember. So I'm kind of actually pumped about myself that I could remember those two. Hoping that there wasn't a third or a fourth or a fifth out there, but there might have been. I don't know. I have to think about that. No, thank you. You're
Donnie
dickhead.
Hale.
That's the second time I'm calling you a dickhead. Hopefully the kids are sleeping.
Yeah.
That one's another one. Maybe we get Donnie on so I can.
Maybe.
I don't know what would happen if I get Donnie on here, but I think that's a good idea, Donnie. So as far as Wolfie, though, there's no shots. I got no shots for you. It's just a pleasure to catch up with you and actually see your face on the old computer here. It's, you know, one thing to talk on the phone, but when you get to actually see each other, this is a pretty good idea, I think, to actually add the computer portion of this. Helps us out a lot. Good job, Donnie, or Tosh, whoever thought of that. Good job, Donnie.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you.
So that's all I got. But thanks, Wolfie. We really appreciate it. We'll definitely get you back. I think we got to do some thinking on how we want to spin your next time here. And, you know, I think we could, you know, do that for sure and maybe ask you a few questions you didn't get answered today. So thanks very much.
Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
I'd love to come back.
Awesome. We'd have you anytime, man. Thank you very much.
Are you taking your shot, Donnie?
Well, I kind of mentioned it as I wanted it to be, hey, who
well,
we should ask our
Softball Canada's
guests.
Heard enough.
Yeah, here, and I'm just going to hang up quick here before I get blacklisted. But, yeah, my shot was more about, I think it's important that we talk a little bit about, hey, on the podcast, we should talk about the girls' game, we should talk about the guys' game, what's the mix. Yeah. But I think it's important for anyone who's ever played the game to hear about what you have accomplished in this game. Whether it's outrageous. Looking at these numbers, it's like a video game. It's crazy. So it's important for our younger kids coming up to know that this level of achievement has actually occurred. You're like the Tom Brady of fastball, man. That's amazing.
I think it's really good when they can see, you know, they can appreciate their coaches. And I mean, the fact, like I said, you're coaching in Ontario, your kids. I really hope, you know, at some point they get to figure out, oh my gosh, you know who's coaching us right now? Like it's the Wayne Gretzky of softball. So I do hope your kids understand that and you are a beauty and, you know, we just touched the surface on some of the things you achieved in your career. So pretty cool. Pretty cool.
You're not just Allie's dad, but you're not just Allie's dad.
No.
Yeah.
Much more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.